Coming up on KUCB News, the City Council has called another special meeting, and Unalaska is grappling with the tax implications of a recent Supreme Court ruling. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Thursday, April 11th, 2019. The Unalaska City Council has called a special meeting tonight. The only item on the agenda is an executive session entitled Sole Source City Manager Position. Local officials have shared no further details, but the meeting comes 2 nights after councilors accepted the resignation of City Manager Thomas E. Thomas without addressing how they'll handle his departure or search for his replacement. Thomas's last day on the job is set for May 31st. Assistant City Manager Aaron Reinders was recently offered a position in Seward, though she hasn't accepted it yet. Reinders was also a finalist in the city's last two searches for a city manager, losing out to Dave Martinson and then Thomas. The city council meets tonight at 6 o'clock at City Hall. In January, Amazon.com started collecting sales tax on online purchases made in Unalaska, a move that took residents and city officials by surprise. KUCB has more on the development expected to put new revenue in city coffers by the end of this month.
Okay, so let's see. Where is my orders?
Vic Fisher is pulling up an Amazon receipt on his phone. He's recently placed an order for product that'll be sold at his Unalaska store, Redfish Electronics.
So I ordered something for $976.88.
This is a pretty standard purchase for Fisher, who buys inventory on Amazon regularly. But at the bottom of his receipt, he notes a relatively new line item.
Got a sales tax collected at $29.32.
The charge started popping up on Fisher's receipts in January, and he says he was taken aback. Alaska doesn't collect a state sales tax, and online purchases have long been exempt from the local 3% sales tax adopted in 1988.
It's like, what's this? But I needed the product. So I just pushed the button, said order. And then, of course, I heard that the city is considering whether or not or how to collect this sales tax.
Fisher's experience is a pretty common one in the aftermath of South Dakota v. Wayfair, a case that was decided by the U.S. Supreme Court last year. The court ruled that states can compel out-of-state sellers to collect their sales tax, overturning the previous requirement that businesses have a physical presence in a state before they're subject to its tax regulations. All across the country, that decision has left shoppers, as well as state and local governments, grappling with new tax implications.
We're just feeling this out. It's all a brand new thing, and it literally, I went back and looked at my
Amazon. Thomas E. Thomas is Unalaska's city manager, and he says Amazon is the only online retailer to comply with the court ruling and start charging the local tax. He says the move sneaked up on city officials just as much as consumers, because so far, the state hasn't compelled out-of-state businesses to collect sales tax.
Amazon started doing this on their own. We were looking at doing a study on this that could potentially take a year's time. So Amazon doing this sort of push some things ahead for us in our thinking.
Thomas is referring to an ongoing study led by the Alaska Municipal League. Its goal is to analyze the varied tax policies already in place in cities across Alaska and determine how they might form a single state-level administration. By forming one authority, cities could compel out-of-state retailers to collect an online sales tax in whatever amount they all agreed, and then distribute that money back to local governments. Before any consensus was reached, though, Amazon beat everyone to the punch by collecting individual cities' taxes. 3% in Unalaska, 5% in Juneau, 7% in Wrangell. Amazon did not respond to KUCB's request for comment, but Thomas acknowledged that for now at least, online sales tax is something Unalaskans should expect.
Presently, right now, and as we go through it, I don't know, things may change, but right now, this is where it is.
You know, this tax has been on the books. In that way, it's not a new tax, it's that they're acting on the existing tax, but
right.
I think for
you know, obviously a lot of people here who are just living their daily lives, it feels in all practical ways like a new tax.
Correct.
I guess, what do we have to say to folks here who might be upset?
I can only tell them this is an action taken by Amazon. We're navigating, figuring out how we're going to approach dealing with it. Be patient, and we're coming up with a strategy to address the issue.
Could the city ask Amazon to stop?
The council, we're working with the city attorney to present some options to the council. I don't want to make any definitive on it, but we are working on presenting some options to the council on the issue.
Last month, the Unalaska City Council voted 5-1 to require that online retailers collect and remit the local tax as long as their Alaska sales add up to at least 200 transactions a year and generate $100,000 in gross revenue. That's language taken from the Supreme Court decision, and it should include a number of large online companies. The city is expecting Amazon to send its first batch of local sales tax revenue by April 30th, in keeping with the quarterly filing requirement. But Thomas says it's unclear still how much the city is going to get.
I know in this community people shop a lot of Amazon, not just residents, non-residents as well. This place is nearly double the population now with all our fisheries and a season, and it'll be interesting to see how this, what kind of revenue we're talking about here.
How Unalaska will use that revenue is also undecided. Thomas says it's something councilors still have to discuss. Business owner Vic Fisher says he'd prefer the money to support local schools or companies in some way. The change may actually benefit local businesses by taking away Amazon's advantage as a sales tax-free retailer. But personally, Fisher says he wishes it wasn't happening.
As a consumer, just a regular old consumer, it was nice to be able to just order and know what the price was without any estimated sales tax. It's a kind of a unfortunate feeling.
The completion of the statewide study on online sales tax is not expected until sometime in 2020. Whatever its final proposal, the Alaska Municipal League will have to get cities on board. So until then, officials say local regulations will prevail. Unalaska Community Broadcasting has covered local news for the past 20 years, and to mark that anniversary, KUCB is spending every Thursday of 2019 looking back at our former reporters and sharing some of their stories. This month, we're focusing on Alexandra Gutierrez. In 2011, she filed this report from St. Paul Island as the community celebrated the 100th anniversary of the Northern Fur Seal Treaty.
For 3 nights straight, the people of St. Paul packed the village's rec hall for a mix of dancing, singing, praying, and feasting. High schoolers vogued to Lady Gaga for a fashion show, and adults placed bids in an auction for vintage luxury goods. They were celebrating the 100th anniversary of the Northern Fur Seal Treaty, which put serious restrictions on the once lucrative practice of hunting fur seals for their pelts. It might seem a little weird that a piece of arcane environmental law was a cause for such a blowout. But on top of being the first international wildlife conservation agreement in history, that document also saved the seals from extinction while guaranteeing the native people of the Pribilof Islands the right to a subsistence harvest. The centennial gave the Aleuts who live in St. Paul a chance to remember a major part of Alaska's history that's often overlooked. Jason Bordakovsky worked as a sealer in his youth.
The fur seal industry was an intricate part of why the state of Alaska was bought, you know. It wasn't for oil or for timber or even for fishing, you know. That all came later.
The history he describes is a difficult one. The people of the Pribilofs were originally from the Aleutian Islands, and they were forcibly displaced by the Russians and made to hunt seals. Then they worked the commercial seal harvest as wards of the U.S. government for low wages during much of the 20th century.
Sometimes they worked 10 hours, 8 hours a day. And I got happy when I got to step two when I was getting $34 a month, you know, and that was big wages, you know. And that wasn't in 1800 either, that was in 1950-something, you know.
In the 1980s, the government pulled out of St. Paul, and the commercial industry for fur seal pelts disappeared. St. Paul residents continued their small subsistence harvest of the young male seals, using that meat through the winter months. Now the people of St. Paul face another challenge. The fur seal population is shrinking at a rate of about 6% a year. Ryan Berner is a wildlife technician working in St. Paul.
The populations now, based on bull counts and also counts of pup production, are less than one-fifth of what they were in their most recent peak, which was 1950. And so we're still seeing a pretty solid decline every year.
Berner spends his days walking along St. Paul's rocky cliffs, looking for tag seals in the rookeries and haulouts. That type of data will be used to help determine this year's population count. Right now, it's not really clear what's causing the seals to disappear. There's a whole mess of factors that could be putting stress on the seals, from climate change to competition from fisheries to pollution to whale predation. What is clear is that their continued decline will have consequences for the ecosystem, and that it will also have an effect on the culture and diet of St. Paul's residents. During the centennial celebration, the drop in population numbers wasn't overlooked. At the groundbreaking of a new monument to honor the sealers of St. Paul, the director of the National Marine Mammal Laboratory, John Bankson, spoke of the importance of protecting the seals.
The need for responsible stewardship of fur seals and their environment is as great today as it has ever been.
Aqualina Lestinkoff, director of the tribal government of St. Paul, also addressed the population drop and spoke of a need to conserve a species and a culture. She says that while the situation is worrisome, she believes that the fur seals may be able to bounce back once again, just like they did a century ago.
I hope that we have another 100 years in front of us. I hope there are people here eating seal a few hundred years from now.
It's going to take a lot of work for that to happen. But St. Paul's residents aren't strangers to that. During the centennial, local rock group The DL Band played a song called Slaves of the Harvest. It was written in 1978, and it's about the role the seals played in shaping the community. For a song that focuses on all of the hardships that the sealers faced, it's a pretty catchy tune, and even upbeat at points. In one of the final verses, the guitarist sings about change and hope for self-determination. And the centennial was just as much about that as it was the fur seals. Because here, the lives of the people and the seals are linked. And the dream is that things will stay that way, indefinitely. Reporting from St. Paul, I'm Alexander Gutierrez.
That was a 2011 story from Alexandra Gutierrez, the fifth reporter in the history of Unalaska Community Broadcasting. Join us each Thursday for the rest of the month when we'll be re-airing more of her stories as part of our year-long series celebrating the 20th anniversary of KUCB's newsroom. You can also check out our website for past installments featuring Jim Pollan, Charles Homans, and Ann Hillman. Unalaska Community Broadcasting is also kicking off its spring fundraiser tomorrow night with a karaoke contest. Here's General Manager Lauren Adams with the details.
So we always do the Channel 8 auction in the spring season. And this year we are still doing an auction, but we're going to add it to a karaoke contest. So we're just trying to make it more fun. We do this every year, and I think Unalaska is probably ready for a change. Do something a little bit different. So we'll have three sessions of karaoke contest. In the first week, it's going to be at the Harborview Bar and Grill, so Unice's Harborview Bar and Grill. And then in the second week, we're going to have a contest here at the Burma Road Chapel. So that will be all ages in the big room at the Burma Road Chapel. It's the 19th. And then on the 26th, we will do the Channel 8 Auction and the Karaoke People's Choice Awards. So we will have all those pre-taped performances, and people will be able to call in from home and say which singer they like the best.
Session number one of karaoke starts tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at the Harborview Bar and Grill. You can sign up by calling us at 581-1888 or just swing by the bar and join in. Also this weekend, Dr. Ginny Hatfield is hosting a talk on archaeological findings around the region. Hatfield is director of the Museum of the Aleutians, and she'll be speaking Saturday afternoon at the library starting at 4 o'clock. The event is free and open to the public. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.